Yo, what's up? This is Champagne Sharks. We're on a tear lately. We are just recording and recording and recording. This is yet another episode. This is that heat. This is that drama for your mama. This is the smooth yet hard-hitting highlight of your week. This is the kind of shit that will get your ears pregnant. This is what you've been waiting for a long time without even knowing you were waiting for it. This is just a sign that your life is going right, because hopefully you are a Patreon, or should I say a patron to the Patreon. This is everything that you wanted and didn't know that you wanted. This is giving you life. This is episode 90, 10 from 100. This is T. This is Ricky Rawls on Twitter. This is the host. This is Champagne Sharks. This episode is the heat. This episode is the fire. This episode is accompanied by Mike. Say hello to the people, Mike.
What's up, everybody? Hey, I'm in here with the hostess, with the mostess.
And you just called me a hostess, but that's fine. I drew shade on you the last time, so I had that coming.
I mean, you just, with all this superlatives, like, hey, it's that fire, it's that heat. You know, hey, I'm just trying to get on your level.
Oh, it's all good, man.
Make sure everybody understands that we bring in the context to the content.
Yes.
And we're about to get it popping. Big Mike, at Black Exception 1 on Twitter.
Speak on it. Speak on it. Yes. At Black Exception 1 on Twitter. I'm going to hire somebody to do a radio drop of context provider, and I think it's going to be fire. Like, it's going to be the new, it's going to be the new hotness, man. I'm excited. You can tell. Can you tell?
I love my enthusiasm? I love it, man. You know, all right, good. You know, people don't know that Ricky behind the scenes, man. He was losing a little bit of steam.
I was losing a little bit of steam.
He's back, man. Like, he never left, and back and better than ever.
Oh, for sure, man. Like, you know, I feel like I was a little worried, man, because...
Yeah, I was too, T. I was like, T, look, oh, shit. You know, T, we need that energy. If T don't have the energy, he don't bring the fire. We just kind of fizzle out.
I know. Like, I was like, you know, what am I without, like, my anger? Like, if I go to therapy and then I get, like, mad chill, like, what's going to happen? I'm going to be, you know, talking about kumbaya and let's hold hands, and then all the patrons will, like, you know, drop. But, you know, I'm in a chill place, man. Because I read a couple of things that got me angry again, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, I could still get a little angry. So that's good. And, you know, a surprise guest, he just hopped in, D Mills.
What up, D?
This nigga's lurking, man. What's he doing?
I don't know.
Just fucking up the flow. Yeah. What you doing,
D? Unmute it, brother.
No, it's unmuted, man. He's just creeping, man. I guess D wants to creep, man.
Testing 1 2, testing 1 2.
Okay, you there me? You go. Yes. Okay, cool. Holy shit. Is this the Blue Yeti?
This is the Blue Yeti.
Oh, it sounds fucking nice, man.
All right.
That sounds like hot fire.
Gonna, for a second there, I thought you was gonna say, oh man, it still sounds like shit. I'm like, oh god damn.
I should have fucked with you. You're right. I should have fucked with you. I missed an opportunity. No, it sounds good. Yo, for the people who don't know, like, D got a new mic, so now D is rocking the Blue Yeti.
Is it blue?
Is it literally blue? I forget.
No, it's actually black, you know, which is, you know.
Okay. You know what? It's on theme. It's all good.
Yeah, exactly. So what's been going on, fellas?
You missed my intro. Oh, man, you missed it. I came in with the high energy, and then I got worried because you came in on that, like, perverted crank phone call stuff, and I was worried you were going to throw off the energy, but it worked out. It was good. It was good. We didn't start talking about anything yet.
Oh, okay. That's what's up. No, actually, I got my computer together. I came in the room to set up, and I couldn't find my damn charger. So I'm about at 50% power, but I got a good battery, so I'm ready to go.
All right. You know what? We do better under pressure, so that's good. Like, that 50% battery is going to bring out the best in D.
Exactly. That and this little cocktail I got sitting right here next to me.
There we go. We don't choke. We don't choke.
What you sipping on, homie?
little yak and a little something, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? I've been sampling with, I'm not a real, you know, I usually just drink like Bombay gin. That's my favorite.
Straight or what do you add to it?
Straight.
God damn.
A little ice.
Oh, a little ice.
Okay. Or from the bottle, you know.
I got to tell you, gin is a man's liquor, man. I'm impressed.
You ain't lying.
Not that I expected any less of you, but yo, gin is a, you can't go wrong with gin. I like gin, I like scotch, I like bourbon.
Yeah.
You give me those three.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong.
But I've been experimenting with this this Apple Crown Royal.
Oh yeah.
Mixed good with stuff. Ginger ale. I usually don't mix drinks, but that one's pretty good.
You know what's good, but you can't have it like as the only ingredient or one of two. But they have this honey bourbon. But it could be a little sweet. You have to like mix it with like one or two other liquors and some mixers. Yeah. Like it's good in the cocktail, but they have this like honey flavored bourbon. If you just try to have it straight, or if you just try to have it with like, say like soda, yeah, it's still too sweet.
Sickly.
Yeah, sickly sweet. But if you have it with like one or two other liquors and then a mixer, it's not bad.
I feel like this mic is picking up everything.
They do.
You sound really good, bro. You sound... Yeah,
they do pick up everything.
Yeah.
I got one too. I got the blue one.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually what the recommendation was because, you know, we remembered the tremendous gain in...
I don't think there's a difference with the color.
No. We were just talking about the brand. Oh. We wanted to make sure that the brand was on point.
Duh. My fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's part. That was funny.
I don't think the color makes a difference.
Oh man!
Well, as you can tell, I had my sips too, bro. You ain't the only one.
Hey man, I had my. This is like drunk history. I think all of us have had something. I had my friend was throwing a cocktail night at this place called Basquiat's Bottle.
Okay.
And I went there, and it was pretty cool. It was chill because it was in like Bed-Stuy, but it was a nice spot that was like all black. There was like one white person there, and it was one white woman there and one Asian woman, but it was actually an all black spot. It was like kind of like artistic black bar. It was cool. My friend was throwing this cocktail event, so he was having all these cocktails that he was doing, and he was hooking me up. So I'm in a nice space. I'm living the dream, man. But did you see the link that I just put into the show notes? I'm going to read it now, so you don't even have to read it. Let me just read it now. This is something that's incredible. This article is insane. This article is called Why I Stopped Dating Black American Men When I Decided I Was Ready for Marriage by Ara.
Go ahead and pronounce it. Go ahead. Let me hear you.
Okay. Iloa Bigachukwu.
Electric Boogalooku. There you go.
Yeah. Very long Nigerian name, and yeah. This is a fucking insane article. So this is how the article goes, and I have to read it in its entirety, and feel free to interject and just jump in with your thoughts as they come in. Now, I haven't dated an American in more than 6 years. That says less about American men and more about my dating preferences than anything else. Now, full disclosure, I only date within my race. My nationality, however, is a whole different story, but this wasn't always the case. By the way, this is at madamnoir.com.
Of course.
A couple of years ago, after a string of failed relationships, I took some time to reevaluate my whole damn life. I knew what I wanted, or at least I knew what I was supposed to want, and I thought I was clear with my intentions when it came to dating. Yet, the vision I had for myself didn't seem to be coming together. No matter how different the guy appeared on the surface, the results were consistently too similar for it to be a matter of happenstance. Something about my dating habits and my dating goals weren't adding up. So I set out to remove any obvious obstacles from my mission. I mean, this is pretty suspenseful so far, guys. Like, I have to know what these obstacles are. This sounds like a hero's journey. This is Joseph Campbell in action. I don't know, but let's move on. Of course, I did all the self-reflective stuff. So she's on some eat, pray, love shit, you know? Oh my gosh, yeah, she said it. Wait, eat, pray, love. I didn't know she was going to say that when I said she's on eat, pray, love shit. That's fucking awesome. Oh my God. I swear to God, people, when I said she's on eat, pray, love shit, I didn't know that the next word was going to be, yeah. Oh my God, I love it. Okay, so let me back up. And I swear that I did not stage that. Of course, I did all the self-reflective stuff. Ate, prayed, loved. Which goes to show these people are just white people in blackface. Started seeing a therapist on a weekly basis, which, you know, after my last episode, I can't judge. I mean, I was the quintessential black woman on her journey to self-discovery. I love the idea that the quintessential black woman is somebody who eats, prays, and loves and sees a therapist weekly, you know? Like the average black woman is rolling in money like that. That's the average black woman's journey to self-discovery, but fine. After a year of quote-unquote doing the work, as Miss Ayanla would say, my therapist and I agreed it wouldn't be a bad idea to get back into the dating scene. Now here's what I'm thinking, right? If you need a year of therapy to get back into the dating scene, what were you working with? A year of weekly therapy is a long time just to get back into dating. Like, I'm kind of curious what you went to the therapist for beforehand.
Yeah, I'm curious about that as well. Does it delve into it deeper into the article, perhaps? I don't know.
I don't know, because honestly, I'm reading the article for the first time. Live. I just heard stories about this article. So
yeah, weekly therapy sessions for over a year, man, that seems like it's a little something more deep-seated than you know, your typical dating woes. But continue, man, let's hear what else she's
therapy can go on for years. I just find it interesting that it's 1 year just to get back to dating. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you need a year of work just to date. So that's
interesting. Yeah, like, god damn, what's going on there?
Sure, I had developed some great communication skills, learned a lot about compromise and partnership, and even more about realistic partner expectations. And in being realistic about my partner expectations, I had to acknowledge that my dating pool needed a major revamp. I had exclusively dated black men up to that point, finding commonality in the fact we were both black and both American-born. But my perception of marriage and relationships had undoubtedly been shaped by my West African father and my American baby boomer uncles, which I don't know what that means. Are they American but of West African descent? Or are they... Oh, she doesn't really explain. I don't know. Like, is she saying that they're West African but born in America, when she says that her American baby boomer uncles?
I'm thinking they're American born. Like, maybe... Because one of her parents is not, right? One of her parents is American and the other one's...
Oh, okay.
African.
Oh, so then that makes some sense then.
I think she stated it.
Oh, okay. Well, then that explains. Yeah, that makes sense then. She's kind of like a...
So then their American is in...
Kind of like an Issa Rae.
Yeah, half African, as Issa Rae puts it. I was expecting the men I was dating to mimic a culture and generation that they had no real relation to. And when they couldn't measure up to my unrealistic expectations, I blamed them for their shortcomings.
Well, I mean, I have boomer uncles. A lot of black men I know have. Why wouldn't we have a relationship to that generation? But she does for some reason. Why would she exclude us from that? Like, we don't have uncles and fathers.
That was very weird, right? I was thinking the same thing. Like, why would she say that? Isn't that a weird thing? Like, it's like, I think they're just trying to find any excuse to differentiate, like, black men of today from either black men of other places or black men from the past. Like, I think she's come up with a conclusion and she's backwards rationalizing it. Nah. And it doesn't necessarily have to make sense. That's the only thing. Because there's a lot of inconsistencies in this article. Like, you know, this article is therapy in and of itself. Like, she's working through something. And I don't know why somebody paid her to write the article so that we can be a witness to it. Because it's not a very interesting thought process. A lot of these people are very, you know what these people are? They're very simplistic and duplicitous,
yeah.
Which seems to be like two opposite things, but they're so simple, but because they're such liars and so convoluted, they end up having these really convoluted rationales. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I agree totally with that.
That's a terrible combination, being simplistic. And I say that as somebody who in my life at various times, and I can still be like simplistic and duplicitous, like, but I realize it and I try to fight it, you know what I mean? Like, but these people just have no self-awareness. Like, they just are comfortable.
Well, what do you mean when you say duplicitous? Because duplicitous seems like it carries a connotation that there's something... that they're doing that has a dual meaning and a more sinister meaning along with the seemingly innocent meaning as well. So
I'll give you an example of duplicitous. Like, I think all of us have some times where like we're being duplicitous. Like, we're doing something where the reason we're doing it on the surface is not really the reason we're doing it underneath the surface. I feel like people can lapse into that all the time, but when you have your self-knowledge, you self-correct. Like, you know, nobody is...
I got you.
Yeah. It's very rare. But these people, they just have such lack of self-awareness that they're just simplistic and duplicitous all the time, 24/7. Like, they can't get out of it because being that they have these degrees and these pedigrees, they refuse to think that they're not the ideal. Like, she says she's the quintessential Black woman on her journey to self-discovery, as in the way that she chose is the like anything they do, just by virtue of the fact they're choosing it, makes it the ultimate Black expression, you know? Like to me, a Black woman who goes to church, loves her kids, and raises them all to do better than her with a husband is more a quintessential Black woman on a journey to self-discovery than her trying to live a white liberal life in cosplay or talking about eat, praying, and loving. Like, eat, praying, and love is not for you. It's not made for you. That's not you.
Right.
Seeing a therapist on a weekly basis, you're not the quintessential Black woman. You're the quintessential white woman in blackface trying to replicate the white woman, the white liberal woman's journey.
So will we say that she's the quintessential modern Black woman? Because I feel like the woman that you described as, you know, raising and bearing her children and going to church and everything, that seems to fit in line with more of like the traditional Black woman. You know what I mean?
I think it's a traditional Black woman, but I think it's still the majority. I think she is, I think what she is the quintessential confused Black woman.
Oh, yeah, definitely that. There's definitely a lot of that. And yeah.
And I say that as a Black man that, like, you know, struggles with confusion. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just have I think I have a very high level of self-awareness, you know what I mean, of my confusion, or at least I try to. But I think we all get confused after a while. But these people just have, it's the self-awareness that, the lack of self-awareness, I think, that makes them very hobbled with any type of ability to give insight on anything.
You know, one of the things that I always think is very important, and sometimes I feel like it's lacking in Black society in general, is introspection. You know, just kind of looking into yourself and you know, going over things and figuring out, you know, where did I go wrong in this situation? What could I have done? But you know what I mean? Just looking at yourself and how you relate to situations versus how everybody is affecting you. You know what I mean? How do you affect others? How do you affect yourself? What decisions have you made to get you to the place where you are? And it seems like even in her writings, it seems like she tries to go through some sort of introspection, but then she actually comes to the conclusion that it's someone else's fault, i.e. American Black men. So once again, you know, it's not her dating choices. It's not the type of American Black men that she's dating. It's just, you know, a broad generalization.
It's not her relationship to herself.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, interesting, too, is you made a good point about introspection, but I think a lot of people think they're introspective because there's a difference between, and this is something that makes a narcissist different than different people, right? Not saying that she's a clinical narcissist, but I think in general, we're in a more narcissistic society, especially with this kind of social media culture and this whole, like all these articles and these shea butter sites that are just all about, as a so-and-so, this is what I think. Like, you know, your identity just makes you an authority. There's a difference between introspection and self-absorption / self-obsession. A lot of people think about themselves all day long. They're obsessed with themselves. They're absorbed with themselves, but they have nothing insightful to say about themselves.
Wow.
But they think they're introspective. Like, introspection is when you actually have something insightful. So it's like, I would say there's three levels to a good analysis. And I feel like a good analysis should be about something. It should be born from that something. And it should have something insightful to say about that something. And they stop short at the third. When it's just about something and born from that something, then it's just self-obsession, self-absorption. And a lot of people don't even realize that there's a difference, and they think they're introspective and they're not. And that's the problem with articles like this. It's just self-obsessed, self-absorbed, and has zero insight, zero introspection. Yeah. But going on, as women, no one sits us down to have the conversation about why just desiring marriage isn't enough. We had this idea that we're born marriage ready, while men must go through some reformative period in their lives where they come to the realization that marriage ain't such a bad idea. In reality, we have just as much growing and evolving to do as our male counterparts do when it comes to relationships and large long-term commitment.
Okay, and so far so good.
Yeah, and a huge part. First of all, I think this is just a long-winded kind of cushion before she goes back to giving the gut punches, because this has nothing to do with anything.
Exactly.
And a huge piece of that includes evaluating whether or not we're guilty of self-sabotage when it comes to our dating decisions. Ultimately, I learned that I was. So this is just a long-winded way. I'm going to punch you in the face, but I'm going to take the long way around and, you know, walk in a circle before I come back and punch you in the face. That's pretty much what she's doing. Like, I could just walk up to you and punch you in the face, but I'm going to just, you know, kind of walk around.
I'm going to give you this whole little bullshit ass story about why it's more my fault than yours.
Yeah. Then I'm going to punch you in the face.
Then I'm going to punch you. You know what? I mean, I'm a fucked up individual, man. I'm from a broken home and shit. I'm about to whoop your ass, but I just want you to know where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
So it's not you, it's me.
I was just getting ready to say that. It's basically a long ass roundabout way to say it's not you, it's me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's fucking ridiculous. It's like, you know, it's like some I think Antonio Moore was talking about this article, and he was like, don't hide and shout at the same time. And I think that's the perfect way to put this article. He was like, don't hide behind the bushes and say, I'm coming to get you. Like, this is what this article basically is. Like, this is my first time actually reading it for myself, but I see what he was talking about. It's like, you know, people say don't throw stones and hide your hand. This is like someone trying to do both at the same time. She's trying to throw stones while hiding her hands. And it's kind of ridiculous. But also she says, and this is so fucking magnanimous of her. Like, she's all heart. She says, when they couldn't measure up to my unrealistic expectations, I blame them for their shortcomings. No, it's not their shortcomings. It's the fucking system. Like she's acting like she's forgiving them for their shortcomings. And it's like, these people act like there's not
how a fucking system of,
yeah, like there's not a system of white supremacy that's actually creating these shortcomings. Like, you know, that's the same as like,
yeah, what you're white right. Supremacy. You just, this whole article is just dripping with condescension.
Oh, so condescending. Just be a bitch. Just be a... That's the one thing I hate. Just be an asshole. Be a bitch. Let me know what I'm working with. Don't fucking do this. Like, I just...
Exactly.
I just try to have an honest asshole
this than a fake person. This goes back to you guys talking... I think it was you and Aki talking about intellectualized bullshit or intellectual ratchetry or whatever it was called. Yeah. This is just another form of that. I think she's trying to intellectualize her bullshit. You know what I mean? So she's not gonna say what you just suggested that she do and be honest. And
this is
say,
what you know, this is what niggas ain't shit it. Sounds like when you have right. an advanced degree. This is what it comes out. It becomes like a fucking 3,000 word article. You know, she could just been from the hood and just said niggas ain't shit, and that would have been.
Or, like, or she could have just, like me and D were talking about earlier, just took her ass to, you know, with her Nigerian boyfriend and shut the hell up. She didn't have to make an announcement that she was exiting the Black American dating pool. Just get the
but
fuck
out. But that's today's culture, bro. That's today. People don't just want to leave. They want to let you know they're leaving. And then they want to look back.
That's like when people get in your mentions when you tweet something they don't like and unfollowed. Like, fuck you. Yeah, I don't care.
Just unfollow me. Why are you?
Yeah, what the fuck you telling me for?
What kind of passive aggressive shit is that?
Yeah, I'm gonna lose sleep over this one. Like, I didn't even know you were following me. Like,
who are you?
Hey, I'm followed. Like, thanks. Like, you know, like when people like say that to me.
Oh, since
like,
you were following me, damn. Let me get a do-over.
Yeah, when people say that to me, I'm like, hey, I'll help you. I just block them. I'm just like, yo, I'll help you out. Like, you know, right. You know, it's funny. One time someone did that to me, and then like, a couple months later, they replied something like, great thread. I'm like, wait, did you fucking unfollow me? And I just unblocked them just out of the fucking audacity to announce you're unfollowing me to still be there. Like, that's even worse. Like, you fucking bastard. Okay, so, you know, one day my therapist forced me to make a list of the things I wanted in a husband. I'd like to know if it's a Black therapist. And as we reviewed my list, one thing became clear, and that was that I had no business dating Black American men. The likelihood that we would waste each other's time was almost built into the equation. Like, this is so fucking racist. Can you imagine if a white person wrote this? Imagine.
Yeah.
Let me read this paragraph, but imagine a white person writing it, okay? One day my... Okay, picture this is Susie, the white girl.
All right.
One day, Mr. Bergance. My therapist forced me to make a list of the things I wanted in a husband. And as we reviewed my list, one thing became clear, and that was that I had no business dating Black American men. The likelihood that we would waste each other's time was built into the equation. Initially, I felt bad, almost like I was turning my back on them if I agreed with these findings. It's like, this is like so racist. And it's like, and this is like, you know, why a lot of times, and I say this to somebody of immigrant descent, you know, and I'm like, there's no word, right? There's no, like, Black Americans don't have a word like Akata for, you know, for African people. Like, I don't think it exists. I mean, I remember like growing up, you hear things like African booty scratcher and stuff like that, but there's no actual like cultural word in the Black community that was just made to slander like Black people. But Nigerians have like Akata, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you would not really see this article in reverse. Like, I'm through with West African men. Like, I don't know why these people feel the need to keep making articles like this shitting on Black American people. It's not like the Black American people are just constantly shitting on them back. If anything, they're always very welcoming. And
well, and I found, just from my, you know, own interactions, limited though they may be, that particularly Nigerians have this sense of superiority that just
very big superiority complex
that just oozes out like in every word they say to you. It's almost like, man, even saying hello to one of the motherfuckers, you might get into a fight.
And to a degree,
when they say hello back to you,
yeah, to a degree and the objective standard, they might be superior, but they're superior because of how the system is structured and the obstacles that they didn't have that other people did have. Like, it's not like an inherent superiority, you know, like it's a superiority in results, not a superiority in like the hundreds of years of oppression and subjugation and domination, as opposed to colonialism, which is not quite as bad
by the British.
Yeah, which is not quite the same.
It was just truly different than the, you know, what
America. It's a superiority in results when you remove parts from the whole.
Yes.
In other words, like, you take them out of Nigeria and you look at the overall condition of Nigeria and a lot of West African countries, you know.
And they're fucked up, yeah.
It's a real messed up situation, right? But if you
They're superior here because of the selection process. But, you know, exactly. The Boko Haram and all this kind of fucked up shit happening there.
Right.
And it's one of the most corrupt ethnostates.
Exactly. So, you know, like I said, and unfortunately, you know, sometimes when we have these conversations, we have to remind our African brothers and sisters, our Nigerian brothers and sisters of... There's a reason you came here, you know. It's not like, you know. But anyway, I don't want to rehash that.
But no, it's a very valid point. Yeah. And what's funny, too, is like, these people are just like, look, I found a way to find a space in this system. I'm not going to analyze why I'm making it and these people aren't. I just want to game the system. As long as I'm doing okay,
They'll analyze it through like white eyes and those white conservative eyes, and just that we haven't pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps.
Honest cultural inferiority and all that kind of thing. But it's a lot of very, very conservative talking points.
To kind of piggyback on what D said just a second ago, where he didn't want to get into it too much, and I don't either, but he was like, we got to remember why they're here, but I would also like for them to remember why they are able to be here. And
yes,
you know, that's a great point.
And you're welcome.
Exactly. This is stuff that Black Americans fought for that allowed all these immigrants to be here, and not just the Black ones. You know, a lot of that whole Immigration Act in 1965 was, you know, off the back of the civil rights progress. And it's not even just the Black immigrants that benefit from it, but also it helps you a lot when you're here as far as the affirmative action. They're using up a lot of the affirmative action that was specifically allotted for harms that were done specifically to Black people due to hundreds of years of subjugation. And you're coming from a country where you're actually doing well in your country. You have like, you know, money and pedigree, and you come here and then hop onto these benefits allotted for people who had hundreds of years of subjugation. And it's, you know, like that's the thing. This woman, I'm highly doubtful that when she applied to college and anything, she was like, listen, not only am I tired of these Black American niggas, I am tired of this Black American affirmative action. You know, she was probably like, I'm checking that box the fuck off, and I'm getting everything. Yeah. Like, I want to see her
applying
really
for
just
all
write off
scholarships and everything.
Yeah, write off everything Black American for real. like ran off every single thing. Any type of benefit you're gonna get that comes from white people not being able to tell the difference between immigrant blacks and black Americans, you correct them. You say, listen, don't give me that shit. Don't give me this edge. Don't give me this quota. Don't give me this. You know, I am African. I am not black American. Because honestly, because obviously, if the systemic causes aren't real, if they don't matter, if you're treating people like individuals, then really treat everyone like an individual, because the premise that there's systemic causes that hurt black Americans are what is behind those black American benefits that you have no problem piggybacking behind. So really live a life of individualism. Really,
right.
Really disavow the idea that the systemic causes for why black Americans are doing worse.
And I'll hold my breath while they do that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know what? I don't know if I even want to fucking finish this article. Like, fuck her. what are we doing?
What do they call that when you start reading a book and the shit sucks, but you just feel like you got to finish it because you started, but even when you finish, you really wish you had to stop when you had that inkling to in the first place?
I think it's called this article. That's what it's called. This article is
Madame a Noir article.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's called Shea Butter Journalism. Like it's no. So all jokes aside, I'm kind of curious if anybody knows the name for the term that Mike is talking about. Please share, because I actually am curious. I just can't think. This article fried my brain, and
yeah, even if I don't knew know. It, I don't know. I know there's a term for it, a phrase, a word.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I bet it's German too.
Because D probably don't. Did you hear me what I was asking?
No, repeat it again.
Okay, I was asking. I know there's a term for, like, say you start reading a book or you start watching a movie and you get like a certain way through it and you realize this shit sucks and you're not gonna enjoy the rest of it, mm-hmm. but you've already invested a certain amount of time in it, so you feel like you have to finish it. A
completionist. But
then when you finish it, you feel like when you finish it, you wish that you had stopped when you initially.
Oh, well, I know the two different things. I know completism is when you feel like you have to complete something because you started it, like you're a completist.
Right.
But when you add the regret, if there's one term that combines completism with regret, that I don't know. And by all means,
yeah, I don't know that.
I made the mistake of jumping to the last two paragraphs, and they're so fucking awful that I'm going to go back and I'm going to read the last two paragraphs. Listen to this fucking bullshit. I won't go into detail, but I will say that since excluding American men from my dating pool, my dating experiences as a black woman have become much more enjoyable. In comparison to my friends who still date American men, dating for me has been relatively stress-free and surprisingly liberating. For a long time, black American women, but first of all, make up your mind. Are you American or are you not? Do you know she's jumping back and forth? Like, you know, black American?
Yeah, I noticed that too.
And here's something interesting. I've noticed that there's this trend now. Black women are of a certain pedigree and tribe are trying to pretend that black woman is its own race, separate and apart from black people. Kind of like when Issa Rae said, don't date Filipinos because they're the blacks of Asians. And you would think, wait a minute, you're not only dissing Filipinos, but you're dissing blacks. But for some reason, she thinks black women don't count when you diss black people.
Mm.
You know, so there's black people, but then there's educated black women. And educated black women are something that transcends blackness.
Blackness itself.
Yeah, yeah. And I tell the readers and I tell anyone, think with this in mind. You're going to notice that this tribe does that a lot. They think that being an educated black woman makes you transcend blackness, where you can actually not only diss black men, but you can diss blackness as a whole and it doesn't apply to you. You're almost like an outsider talking about it. Like, you know, it's a weird thing. But she says, for a long time, black American women have had to forego the idea of security in their relationships, operating with a double-mindedness that on one hand desires the security that men are culturally expected to provide, and on the other feels obligated to protect our men from the embarrassment of not being able to do so. Like, the embarrassment is not of the black men. The embarrassment is of America.
Mm-hmm.
For relegating black men to this, you are so
see, but this goes to show that it, and again, it goes back to having a fundamental lack of understanding of what it means to live in a system of white supremacy. You know what I'm saying?
Just a lack of understanding of systems in general, like how a system works. Mm-hmm. It's just a hyper-individual type of mindset.
And they'll give a lot of lip service to, you know, white supremacy. They'll use the phrase or the term, but, you know, when they write things like this, it shows that...
I bet this woman wouldn't. I don't think she would say white supremacy. I bet you she would probably say white privilege. Because there's a difference between supremacy and privilege. There's a difference between power and privilege. Like, power is the ability to grant and revoke privilege. Mm. Privilege is just a perk.
True.
These people talk about white privileges and perks, but they don't talk about white supremacy because white supremacy doesn't bother them. They don't care about the power. They just care about getting the perks. So it's like, keep white people in charge. Keep the system in charge. Just make sure that you're sharing the perks with us. And in this case, us means Black American women. And whoever's not getting the perks, fuck him. I'm okay.
Here's what I'm listening for in the article, but I haven't heard it thus far. I'm listening for what exactly was the qualitative change in the types of men that she's been dating. She described, okay, they're no longer Black American men, but what...
Well, she lists... T skipped over the paragraphs. You know, she said her therapist had to write a list. And she gives three items off the list of things that she was looking for in a relationship. And the first thing on the list, if you don't mind me saying to you, unless you're going back.
No, go ahead, please. I've been talking too much.
The first thing on her list was she wanted to, you know, marry a man who wanted to be married. And then she gives a whole bunch of bullshit of why Black men don't want to be married or will tolerate marriage as opposed to actively wanting to be married. The second item on her list was she wanted the option to stay at home once children were brought into the equation. And then, you know, saying she lists the economic factors and statistics of Black men in America. And the third one was spiritual openness. She needed somebody with spiritual openness.
What the hell does that mean?
Nigga, I don't know.
I feel like a lot of it is decoy reasons. Like, it's just a bunch of bullshit reasons. Like, it's kind of, and also it's just the idea that you have no idea what the systematic cause of anything is, and you just think, like, these people, they really love the idea of white supremacy. Like, they think it's neutral. Like, they just want, like, I think they trust white people in charge more than they trust anything. They just want white people to be benevolent to them. And that's what it is. Like, and they feel like if you didn't get the right perks for mommy and daddy, it just means that they're that much better than you. Not that white mommy and white daddy are maybe unfair.
It sounds like she's trying to provide also a second option from just flat out bed winching. You know what I mean? She says, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're not comfortable hopping all the way to the swirl, you know, then this is something in between, you know, dating very American well Black observed men and swirling. Why not try, you know, to date internationally, other Black men, you know, internationally as opposed to American Black men. So
God, this shit just gets worse. Listen to this. First of all, she's saying that she feels obligated to protect our men. First of all, are they your men or not? Like she says, feeling obligated to protect our men from the embarrassment of not being able to provide. And it's like, you act like you're otherizing them, but you're also acting like you're of them. And that's the kind of game that a lot of Black immigrants play. They try to put one foot in and one foot...
That's that duplicity you were talking about.
The duplicity, yeah.
Yeah, that's the duplicity. Like they're simplistic and duplicitous, right? That's that duplicity, you know? Make up your... Pick a side, right? And he says, so exactly, she's doing it for their benefit, right? And he goes, going out to restaurants and mindfully ordering the cheapest item on the menu, bringing a form of payment just in case a date is unwilling or unable to pay. Like, holy shit. Being expected to pull additional weight in relationships while women of other ethnic groups marry to alleviate these same pressures. Like, why can other ethnic groups do that? I mean, it's not like there was hundreds of years of slavery. No, apparently not. There was no Jim Crow. It was just, you know.
I'm not a man of many means, but yeah. I'm just really trying to figure out, listening to some of her, you know, especially the stuff about going out on the date and bringing money to, you know, because you're worried about, you know, if you may have to help pay the bill or whatever. What kind of dudes are these women dating, bro? Because I've never made a lot of money, but I've, you know, when I've dated, I've never had an issue paying the bill or anything of the sort. So, like, what kind of brothers?
I don't know. And if she's dating these brothers, like, you know, I don't get it. Like, say what she's saying was even true. Like, okay, like, why does it happen? Like, who edited this? Who commissioned this? Like, just say what you're saying. Are you saying that this is pathologically fucked up? Like, this is like some Moynihan Report shit.
Yeah, like, what is happening that you have to go to therapy? That's what I'm trying to... I still haven't heard. If you got to go to therapy because you're having trouble finding men that could pay the check on your date, that, you know, that...
I hate a year, to use the term. She took a year of therapy just to realize niggas ain't shit. Like this was I would love to know like what the therapist was like. Listen, man, listen, it's the niggas. It's just the niggas.
Exactly. You know what I think it is? And this is going back to a couple of tweets that you guys shared with me earlier.
Yeah.
I think she liked them thugs. That's what I think it was.
I think you might be right.
That's my conjecture. She liked the thugs.
Yeah. She probably didn't like the Black American squares. She likes the thugs. Because a lot of white girls are like that. A lot of white girls, they want a black guy. Yeah. If the black guy is too square, then she'd rather just go be with the white guy if he's going to be that square. Like, you know what I mean? Like once she realizes, like, he is, like, a lot of things she would forgive a white guy for, but the black guy, it'll, like, disgust her because the black guy was supposed to be something, like, exotic or otherwise, and he's just, you know, and I think maybe that's her thing. She probably is like, if I'm gonna get a Black American and deal with this cornbread black eyed peas ass, you know, then I'd rather just be with the West African and eat jollof rice.
Yeah,
you know, like, I will put up with the difference in culture if I can get like that do-rag dicking down or whatever her fetishization is. Because a lot of these people on Twitter, there's a lot of black women fetishizing thugs the same way a lot of white women do, like a lot of educated black women. It's, you know, it's sad, but it's true, you know.
Yeah, and I play cultural tour guide to a lot of young brothers that haven't had an opportunity to see a lot of things, you know, brothers that don't have a high level of education and things like that. And so, you know, ooh, this is so cute, the first time I ever took them to a museum, you know, that kind of shit. And
he's a perfect example of hiding and yelling. Like, this is the last sentence I'm going to read. I'm not going to read the whole paragraph. She goes, This is how two failed relationships turn into public declarations that all black men are trash. Which is not only untrue, but speaks volumes about the declarer. So, like, what does that mean? Is she saying that all black men aren't trash, just the black Americans? Like, look at that sentence. Like, what does that mean? She said it's not only untrue, but speaks volumes about the declarer.
No.
But what's the untrue part?
No, but you know what? I hope I'm not going to skip over what you just said, but
yeah.
I really hope that, not really, but she's trying to say that there is a lot of space in between dumping black men all together and then jumping over into the Crystal and Harris and, you know, swirling movement and things of that sort. You know what I'm saying?
I totally agree. But what I'm asking is, when she says, listen, not all black men are trash, it's untrue.
Right. Please consider the African or the Caribbean brother. That's what she's saying. She's, before you go to white boys, consider, you know, other options being African, Caribbean, etc.
So what she didn't say was that black men aren't trash. She said, listen, don't think that all black men are trash.
Right.
Only the American ones.
Yeah. Like,
that's fucking amazing. just say, see, instead of doing it in that duplicitous, convoluted way, just say, this is how I would appreciate the sentence phrased better. Just say, this is how two failed relationships turn into public declarations that all black men are trash, which is not true, only the black American ones. You know, but she has to put everything in like layers of word salad. This is our black media. This is our black media. This is Madame Noir. This is The Root.
In conclusion.
This is,
well, our brother, black. I clicked on her name, right? And here's a couple titles of articles that she's written. The Black American Monopoly on Blackness. Black Americans and Our Attachment to Shitty Cities. And Reader Submission. Black Americans. It's time we recognize our privilege, our American privilege.
She's very confused.
Who is she? Like, do she even know?
Is she American or is she not?
Well, I'm not shitting on the therapy, but she need to work on all her issues before she start writing shit.
Yeah, she even knows she's American, you know, or not.
Get a diary or a journal.
It's like what T said. She's doing her therapy through the writing. you know, the writing of this stuff is a fun, yeah, is a type of therapy in and of itself, you know.
Oh, well, you just do that shit in your journal, like, dear diary. I'm not sure if I'm American or African today. I'm confused.
Yeah, that seems like she's trying to fit herself into that niche. You know what I mean? Like, she's gonna, like, some people put themselves in the niche of they're happy to be the person who's the cultural tour guide for white people or the coffee cream or whatever. We had a couple of articles where people said they were happy to do that. You know, then you have this space where they're writing about, you know, how to get your first black girlfriend. You know, they want to be the tour guide for that kind of shit, you know. So she's like, well, shit, let me get in my lane, you know. I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna be the ambassador for, you know, bridging the gap between American black issues and, you know, blacks abroad, the diaspora, you know.
Yeah, it's very,
everybody's trying to get a lane, man.
I wonder how old she is, because, you know, she says she hasn't dated American black men in 6 years, and then she had took a year off for the therapy and all that, and all these failed relationships she's mentioning up until that time. I'm wondering how much of this is exaggeration, or, you know, is she like 40 now and still, you know, looking for a husband?
And that's another thing that you brought up, because she's still dating. So obviously it hasn't been a panacea. She wants to get married and do all this and that and the other, but she's still dating, you know. So obviously this change hasn't been the type of panacea that it seems that she's making it out to be, right?
I'm on her Instagram now, and this is weird. She has...
How did you get to her Instagram?
I Googled her name, and she wrote an article, What We Get Wrong About Dr. Umar Johnson.
Okay, yeah. That was at the top of the list that I just neglected to read that one.
Yeah. Being a single mother does not make me a father, and I refuse to raise my son to believe so. So wait a minute, she's a single mother?
Oh shit.
Wait a minute.
Here we go.
I didn't think she was referring to herself in that article.
Oh, I don't know. Let me see. That would be interesting.
She is.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that would be a very presumptuous thing to do. If you, that's pretty freaking bold if you yourself aren't a single mother, but you're writing an article about that. You know what I'm saying? Trying to fill that space, and there's a million other single mothers that write, that could be writing about that.
She kind of has to be a single mother. If she just released an article about dating men, oh, this is interesting, because if she's talking about she's giving up dating black men, hold on. My son's father raised to believe that his mother caring, well, she's a very bad writer, so it's hard to, I'm trying to read the article, and I can't tell if she's a single mother or not. Like, it's very weird how bad she writes.
Well, in the first sentence, she says it.
She's a single mother? So
Mother's Day is coming up. As a matter of fact, it's right around the corner. Being a mother myself, I look forward to this holiday.
But is she a single mother, though? No, she's definitely a mother. I'm not trying to tell she's a single mother. I think she is.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't write very clearly. Like, she writes in, like, this convoluted, long-winded, circuitous way.
She's not. She's a single mother. She's a single mother.
So she's looking down on black American men, and by the high and mighty West African standards, her being a single mother is like...
Yeah.
That's some fucking audacity. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She's so you're a single mother, and you have, and let me make clear to the listeners, I am not bad-mouthing single mothers, but I'm bad-mouthing somebody doing stereotypes of black Americans and being a snob when they're a single mother themselves, a stereotype that tends to get attached to black American people.
A statistic that they bash us over the head with, white supremacy, I mean, bashes us over the head with 76% illegitimacy rate, and blah, 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 blah.
Ooh, but you know what? That might be why she hates black American men. Because it looks like her son's father was a... Listen, my son's father grew up in a single-parent home. His mother was and still is praised for her strength and resilience, raising 3 children by 3 men on her own in small-town Mississippi. So... Her fucking baby father is a black American. So it's again what we're saying. These people are working the therapy through this shit. This is a beautiful find. Like, that's what she hates, black American men. A black American man left her knocked up. That maybe that's why she took a year off from dating, or who knows, and the therapy. But she had to piece it together from her other articles. Like, she rationalizes whole shit for why she ended up getting left, stuck with the baby.
You know, one thing that I find crazy about like a lot of these, some of the sisters and the conclusions that they come to after all this, this so-called introspection and therapy or whatever, you know, they get in these bad relationships with these dudes. And a lot of these women, they go through these, they do this period of introspection, and then they come to this wild ass, just full tilt, crazy, screeching halt and U-turn in the opposite direction, like just full speed. Like, instead of just saying, you know, I've made some bad dating choices, you know, I'm going to be more selective about who I date, or I'm just not going to date for a while and work on me and, you know, then we'll see what happens. They always go to like the most extreme the most extreme stance, like, okay, I am no longer dating black guys, or I'm no longer dating black American men.
They do two things. They do what you said about going most extreme, and they do the second thing about it can't just be individual choice. This has to be a choice that everybody should follow.
Everybody makes, right, because they want they still want validation, yeah.
Well, it's clear to me that she thinks it's like everybody else is fucked up, and she's the only one that, like, she's got the you know, the magic wand or whatever. She's the only one with the insight and the understanding. Like, if you read this, that paragraph right after where T stopped at, and she's talking about the, you know, her son's father, and she was, you know, she's like, she's talking about how he was raised in a home where motherhood had an actual tangible expression of itself, while fatherhood was reduced to whoever paid the bills. He is not the only one to hold these beliefs. He is one of many. Did his father's physical absence play a part in his willingness to believe that manhood belonged to whoever displayed the most girth? Yes. Did his mother's constant dismissal of his father's absence play a part in his cavalier attitude towards his own absence? Absolutely. And no one is a greater victim of this convoluted family dynamic than our son, who has to live with the consequences of everyone's twisted pathology.
She blamed generations of black men for her being stuck with a son as a single parent. So it's not only the baby daddy, as a black American, who's to blame, but the baby daddy's father, you know, through which you can extrapolate.
And his mother.
All black
and his
men.
Mother. She blamed his mother too.
Yeah, because she threw some shade at his mom in that little piece. Yeah, there was some shade low key.
No, his black American mom.
Right, the black American mom who had the three babies by the three different men.
Yes, sir.
Hey guys, you know what's cool? You know what's cool, guys?
What's that?
Since I started therapy on about like March or April, I started a journal. So I probably have about 100 articles in there that I can just submit to like Madame Noir and the Root. I think all you need to do is just
brother get paid.
Yeah. Just share your journal. But what I'm going to do is I'm just going to start every entry with as a black American male. And then, like, you know, just put the journal entry and I think I can get paid. I mean, I'm sure the per word rate's not great, but, you know, fuck it.
but you know, if you keep going to therapy, you keep coming up with these great insights, you kill them with volume.
No. If I come up with great insights, then they're not gonna buy it.
Oh, okay.
I just have to have just a journal and
work it out in your articles.
Yeah. But it has to have no insight when it's all said and done. It just has to be just me navel gazing. If I accidentally sneak an insight into there at all, they're gonna like ban me and never buy anything. So yeah. Anything insightful, I'm going to leave out in my submissions to The Root and Madame Noir. I'm done, guys. This is going to keep me up at night. But if you guys have any last words, please share them.
I think with me and Mike were touching on, you know, when we had our quick little technical break. You know, once again, we see here the incessant need to pathologize and, you know, make a deep issue of everything that happens within black interactions, black relationships. It's always this need to pathologize, man, and make a big deal out of everything. Instead of just saying we're human, you know, we don't allow for ourselves to be human. We don't allow for ourselves to make the same mistakes as other people. Yeah. And, you know, we're suffering for that in a lot of our interactions and relationships with each other. So we got to do better, man. That's all I got to say.
But along with what, which I agree with you 100%, but it seems like, as you know, collectively, accountability only goes one way, and that's just against the man. And it's, you know, and I'm still kept reading some of this article, and it's like she doesn't take any responsibility for her failure to provide a two parent, if it indeed is a failure, which I'm gonna go out and just say, yeah, that's my personal opinion, it is a failure to provide a two-parent stable home for her child. And she, I don't think she ever provided that. And, you know, she came in the gate fucking up, but it's everybody else's. It's her son's father's problem. His mother and his father, you know, didn't stop with her for creating this life and, you know, bringing him up and having to tell him that, you know, your father wasn't that great of a guy. You know, he was dicking me down rough. And, you know, did it wrong. And, you know.
I'm trying to listen to him get into a deep point, nigga.
I know. It was going too good. He had to throw something in there.
That's so Mike, though. That's Mike.
but please finish the point.
Yeah, yeah. I don't even know where I was going with it. He didn't love her, but and it created this bitterness in her. And she acts like she's just gonna rise above it, but she's really I see the bitterness in her through this article and the last one, and I feel sorry for her son. I don't know, I don't know where the dad is, but I wish he could get his shit together and
because he's gonna become he's gonna grow from a black boy to a black man. He's gonna be an American black man, and I hope she doesn't like project a whole bunch of shit on him. And you know what's fucked up? I should have stopped, but I kept searching her name. And it just keeps getting, she's very confused. Like she said this.
Yeah.
And this is something very weird to say if she's really half Nigerian, half American. This is something she should know better than to say. She seems to have this article like somewhere on a message board. Black Americans, it's time you recognize our privilege, our American privilege. Then she goes, she's just talking about how Black Americans are the white people of the global black community. Ugh, a play on the Damon Young, the Root Think piece of black men are the white people of black people. And get the fuck out of here. If you are really half Nigerian, half American, and you really see both sides of your family, there's no way you're gonna fucking tell me to my face that black Americans on average are more privileged than black Nigerians. Fucking
yeah, I mean, if that was the case, then what's the problem with dating them? They have, we have all the privileges.
They're the top of the food chain.
Right? Yeah. We're the white people of the whole black community.
Yeah. They're the white people of the global black community, but the men are too fucked up to date. Like, okay. Yeah. You make a lot of sense there.
You're too fucked up to date. You can't stay home, and care for the child while he goes out to work. You know, you can't get a stable home provided for you. But, we're the white people of black people. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. These black Americans are the white people of black people, and the black American men, who must be the white men of the global black community, are too fucked up to date. They can't pay a check. They have no values. They can't keep a job.
They love white Jesus.
They inherited a pathology from their mother, who, had three kids by three different dudes.
Yeah, that sounds like just like a white guy. That's a lot of privilege there. Like, oh, but you know what? She's getting paid for writing. So, I mean, God bless her. I'm done. Not. I think you guys got your last words in.
I did.
And thanks for joining us, everybody. Thanks for joining us, co-host. And
yes, sir.
That's a wrap.
Oh.
Yes, sir.